Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan.
Where's my resume?
I forgot the resume.
It fits on this tiny little piece of paper.
Yeah, I know. It can fit on the head of a pen if you really worked at it.
Where is it? There we go. He's something else. You crossed out everything and wrote, he's something else. Well, that is definitely a true statement. The most honest resume ever has been revised.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
That's what Than used to say after he fought off esophageal cancer, which yes. has a low survival rate.
He says, happy he beat the odds.
Right. Oh, my gosh, me too. But, he's just glad to be anywhere. So welcome aboard. Mr. Joe McGranahan is here. He is mayor of Shamokin Dam. He is a PAB-honored broadcaster. He is on this committee of 10 that do the scrutiny of the Bar Association's candidates for office.
Why did you come up with the number 10? There are quite a few people on that group.
Pennsylvania Bar Association Judicial Review Committee.
But I'm on the investigative division.
All right. So you
quite
do,
a few of us.
But you actually do interviews with candidates?
Candidates, people who know the candidates, people who have opposed them in court, people who have ruled on their motions and read their, we have to read their opinions.
That's funny.
Study their cases. Why? What's funny about that?
Well, I just think since you hold such conservative, old-fashioned views, I wonder if that creates a conflict with modernity. But we'll just leave it go at that.
Not really, because what we're looking for isn't whether or not they're liberal or conservative. What we're looking for is whether they have judicial temperament, whether they have demonstrated the fact that they could be a good and fair and impartial judge. And that crosses party lines.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I remain convinced.
Good. Glad to hear it.
On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Throughout the program, our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line will be open. We invite you to call it 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemarketwkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't yet signed up for Text Connect, you can do so at wkok.com. It's an opportunity for you to receive breaking news bulletins from us. For example, this week we sent out a couple related to the Wood Mode closure. So those were that's the kind of thing that we would send out. Also, tornadic weather, road closures. These are all Text Connect items that you can receive from us. I'm looking down my phone. I can't find my latest Text Connect, but I know it related to Wood Mode. First, the initial news about it, and then some other information about that, and the death of Doris Day. The Dead Celebrity Service. If nothing else, we serve as a fabulous Dead Celebrity Service. So,
Tim Conway? Is it not about Tim Conway?
Oh, well. He didn't get connected.
Well, he should have. He was funny.
Who was a bigger star?
Well, he was never a giant star, I don't think, but he was one of the funniest people alive.
Okay.
His Dorf on Golf series would bring tears to your eyes.
Oh, we should hear some of that sometime.
Well, it was visual, too.
Mm.
He actually
played it
on his knees.
Oh, and I think the
the famous dentist bit on
Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett, yeah.
Yes, that was super. Okay, well, we miss Tim Conway already. So was he in anything lately?
Oh, he was rather elderly. I think he may have retired.
Okay.
But he was a very funny guy. Very funny guy.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We invite you to give us a buzz. We have talked this week about President Trump and the tariffs. We've talked about wood mold and the recovery thereof. We have, we'll hear in the news coming up, Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce says if there is any molecularly small hope that emerges from this, is that for many of the workers, particularly some that may be good at craftsman-type skill with wood or things along that line, they may land on their feet at other businesses, and some are right around here. Others are a little bit on the periphery of our region. Peggy Chamberlain-Roop told us that there's dozens of companies that are contacting, trying to get through to those workers to let them know that they're hiring, you know, in these kinds of jobs. This is I guess you call them blue collar, but they're craftsmen. They're what, semi-skilled, skilled
people.
People with a real knack. So we'll be talking about that today. We're reaching out to Joel Wiest in Sunbury. He's doing an outreach for assistance and aid for some of the workers. So those are some of the things we've talked about. But it is an open phones day. We got one call coming in, and we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, so we invite you to call in and you can give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565.
One of our emailers says, good morning. I see the Make America Great Trump economy is starting to kick in. Businesses are closing and people are losing their jobs, but they still support this president. What's it going to take? The Great Trump Depression, the World War, the end of the world? This can all be prevented. Vote him out. Signed, thank you, Bob. Well, Bob, I don't think you can hold the president responsible for wood mode.
Well, but were tariffs a factor?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. I think most of their business was here in the United States.
Okay. So that didn't hurt them. Well, yeah. I mean, if every cabinet you make is custom, that's not what they're... That's the... sort of the non-Chinese way. Theirs is to make a gazillion. One of our good listeners sends us a note. This is an important update. Tim Conway was on SpongeBob SquarePants recent years. So yes,
I had no idea.
See, that's the thing. You have grandchildren,
my older grandson loves SpongeBob SquarePants, or he did, and so it used to be on the TV quite often when he was at our house. Mm-hmm. But I never was aware that Tim Conway was doing one of the voices. I'll have to go back and listen more carefully.
Yep. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Eric, our first caller of Wednesday morning. You are on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about the election on the 21st, now 6 days away. And the first comment I have is I urge everyone who registered to vote, to go out and vote. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, we've got a lot of candidates to vote for, especially locally, school board, and other important local officials. But my concern this morning is about Mr. Fred Keller. I appreciate his comments yesterday, and it seems like he's continuing to try to fulfill his obligations as a state representative. But doesn't it raise questions with you gentlemen, I know it does with me, that when Fred was seeking election or re-election, he was constantly saying, I don't have enough money to run a big campaign, I'm running a small campaign, and actually there was a controversy of him going into debt and borrowing money to get elected. And now that he's going for a national campaign, he's suddenly on TV, it seems, every other 5 minutes, which means that he's tapping into the national Republicans for money, because we know what TV time costs. And it doesn't seem that he's already bought and paid for as far as, once he goes to Washington, if we elect him to Washington, he's bought and paid for. And now, coincidentally, the president is showing up the night before the election to stump for Mr. Keller. And you can't tell me that he is not already bought and paid for. If he gets elected, he'll be nothing but another Republican hack, and our local voices won't be heard.
Would you be making the same call if it were Mr. Friedenberg being endorsed by President Obama the night before the election? Would you say
isn't
was bought and paid for?
That Mr. Friedenberg has to run two campaigns. Isn't it interesting that Mr. Moreno suddenly drops out after he bankrupted Mr. Friedenberg because he had to run for election twice? What about that?
Well, I don't know, but you didn't answer my question. Would you consider it to be bought and paid for if President Obama endorsed Mr. Friedenberg, say he's bought and paid for by the Democrats?
Mr. Friedenberg is not taking those endorsements. He's not taking those money. He's running on his own money.
He wouldn't take an endorsement from President Obama?
No, I'm talking about money here.
Okay, well,
I'm talking about money.
But the Democratic...
But showing up and raising funds, and what about all the commercials, Joe?
The Democratic National Campaign Committee...
Where's the money coming for all those commercials?
Let me answer your question. The Democrats have a Congressional Campaign Committee, so do the Republicans. They pump money into congressional races in the hope of electing Republicans and Democrats to the Congress. If Mr. Friedenberg isn't getting Democratic money, it may be because they don't think he has a chance in a heavily Republican district. And if Fred Keller's getting Republican congressional money, I think it's just they're trying to guarantee that the seat stays in Republican hands. That's been the way this has worked for years.
What happens then if he does not follow with their commands? They'll simply put up somebody else in the next, because let's face it, he's only going to be in office for 1 year before he has to seek re-election.
Well, that makes it expensive.
And don't tell me that if he doesn't follow what the Republican line is down there in Washington, they'll put up someone against him in the primary next year, and they'll have another hack down there.
Well, you know, I don't like the term hack because I don't think that fits either Fred Keller or Mark Friedenberg. Fred Keller is an independent thinker, and from what little I know of Mr. Friedenberg, he appears to not toe the Democratic socialist line these days either. So I think both men have demonstrated that they think on their own.
But then what's with these national-sponsored, because I believe the money's coming from Washington, that he's throwing out the socialism aspect? And Mr. Friedenberg, you know, Where's that information coming from, and who's paying for it?
Well, I think it's coming from, you know, the fact that Bernie Sanders is a front runner, not the front runner, but a front runner in the Democratic presidential race. You know, let's face it, Nancy Pelosi has put out fundraising announcements almost immediately every time some minor Republican faux pas occurs. That's how they raise money in Washington. It's not, I agree with you, it's not ideal, but Fred Keller didn't invent it, and he certainly isn't the only person benefiting from it.
So where's the money coming that allows them to appear on television all these times?
From Republican contributors. A lot of people...
And the Republican National Committee deciding who to take this national money and support.
Well, sure.
And who do you think made the decision that President Trump is appearing the night before the election? Doesn't that seem a little heavy-handed to you?
Not really.
In a small area of Pennsylvania? I mean, come on, guys, right?
Every time there's a congressional election, the pundits and the talking heads on TV say, this election is a referendum on President Trump's leadership. And that's the truth. You've heard that. And if you've watched any newscast on all these special elections that have popped up around the country, you've heard people say that. So if it's a referendum on President Trump, why shouldn't President Trump try to influence it?
So what we can expect then is that Mr. Keller will go down to Washington and be nothing but a Trumpite. That he will not necessarily represent
every Republican
independently, but he'll be another, again, a Republican, what I call party hack.
So every Republican who gets elected is a party hack, and every Democrat who gets elected is a wonderful independent thinker. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not really concerned about the whole Democratic Party. I'm not concerned about the whole Republican Party. As I call every time, I'm concerned about Central Pennsylvania and the rights of our citizens, and trying to make life better here in Central PA.
Well, Eric, you ask good questions, and we'll have to watch in the year ahead if Fred Trump gets elected.
Fred Trump.
Fred Keller. I'm sorry.
Close enough.
Is that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, well, I think it is. I think you're agreeing with Eric here.
Fred Trump is an individual up in Columbia County, ran the Bloomsburg Fair for decades. But Fred Keller gets elected, and he marries President Trump, then it'll be Fred Trump. But in any event, we'll have to see how independent he is on issues in Washington, D.C., and then we as voters can select someone else next year if that bothers us. I don't think that would bother anybody around here, or won't bother enough people to make any kind
Fred's
of a change.
More than demonstrated
but
his independence.
We'll just have to wait and see. Yeah, Fred has a good record coming into this as being independent in Harrisburg, but he didn't have this kind of national backing, you know, the Club for Growth and National Republicans behind him when he was in the state White House. So, you know, what is the payback? What's the payback for bringing the president in to campaign for you? So, but we'll see. The beauty is all of this will be in plain sight once Fred Keller is in Washington, D.C., if he gets elected, and then we'll be able to watch the influence. But I think you're asking a super question, very valid. You know, what's the payback? What's the payback to the Club for Growth for all of their support and helping to make it so that Fred could get the nomination? What's the payback to the president? You know, maybe there's something that Fred Keller would be a little bit at odds on that President Trump wanted to do that might make its way through the Congress. I mean, President Trump isn't really relying on the Congress to do any of his initiatives. The president's not doing what he's doing because congressmen and women are supporting him.
But I think they're valid contributions, as you have, to political campaigns. I've done it for years. I don't expect them to do anything for me. What I contribute is because I believe that they come closest to my philosophy and that I believe they will act in accordance with that when they go to Washington.
Well, that's Joe-topia.
But if somebody donates money to Fred Keller or Mark Friedenberg, you know, what do they say? Hey, Fred, I'm giving you this money, but I want you to vote for X or vote for Y, or Mr. Friedenberg, here's $1,000, but do this. I don't think it works that way. Maybe, you know, in the long run, we elect people because we support people financially because they agree with us philosophically, or they support an issue we support.
I think in Joe-topia, you don't want influence, but in Washington, D.C., ain't no Joe-topia.
Well, look at the bundlers for the presidential campaigns. If you're going to talk about raising money where it kind of smells, that's a good one, good place to start.
Eric.
Sorry, I had to take another message here. My biggest
you weren't
concern,
listening
my
to
biggest
us?
Concern is
I
that
just resolved
this
the
demonstrates
issue.
This demonstrates a problem with our electoral system, that you have to, and I like Mr. Keller. I think he's a good, solid citizen. But I believe you have to essentially sell your soul to get elected to a national, and we'll be interested to see what happens if Mr. Keller gets elected, because I think to get that TV revenue, unless you're independently wealthy, like Mr. Trump, you have to sell your soul, and then I can't believe that after all the money's coming, they're not going to come saying, hey, if you go against us, then we'll support somebody else next time. So I believe it's wrong with America. We need to be independent thinking. We need to get off the boob tube. We need to read. We need to do things so that people don't have to sell their souls to get the money for television time. If you're not on TV, you're not getting elected, and that's a shame.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Eric. Fabulous question. Super question.
Appreciate it.
Well, we know money influences our elected leaders. Maybe Fred will be immune to this. I'll tell you what, if you're going to elect somebody who is going to be immune to outside money, Fred would be in the list of finalists for that position because he's been significantly independent in Harrisburg. I know when Mark Friedenberg got that debate on WVIA, said Fred only votes the party line.
Right.
You could hear the room gasp. It's clear that Mark's the only person that knows that's not true. So yeah, I think, you know, Fred, but we'll see. You know, that's the beauty of this, is once he gets to Washington, his actions are in plain sight. The president does not need any congressmen or women to continue to, you know, forward his agenda.
Okay.
The president's assertive and is doing the things that he needs to do with his, you know, with his powers.
Well, as a Republican congressman, should he be elected, how would you think that Fred Keller would differ from Lou Barletta or a Tom Marino or any one of a number of other Republican congressmen around the country? They are Republicans because they agree with a certain political philosophy. And so they vote in that philosophy. To expect them to go down there and vote Democratic would be ludicrous.
Well, I think Fred Trump has a history of voting.
Fred Trump, there you go again.
I'm sorry, Fred Keller has a history in the state house of voting no on things that he doesn't agree with or aren't in the state's best interest or aren't in his constituents' best interest. So we're hoping that he'll do the same thing when he gets to Washington. He will be twice the Congressman Tom Marino ever was from the moment he hits the ground down there, almost no matter what he does. So that's a low bar. If you put him up on the level of a Chris Carney, who was a very forward-thinking leader who just simply ignored party once he got to Washington, those are good footsteps.
Except on
to
one
follow
key him. Vote, and that vote cost him the election.
Okay. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We invite all comers. So we're talking about the independence of Mr. Fred Keller if he gets elected. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
You've heard of bumper stickers, window stickers, even pot stickers.
Mm.
But none of those can save you money on your next new Kia. It's the Summer Sticker Sales Event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Look for a sticker and save.
You wanna see? In a Kia, Sunbury Motors Kia.
During the Summer Sticker Sales Event, get 0% APR financing for 66 months and up to $2,000 additional cash on specially marked 2019 models. Sunbury Motors Kia has a 2019 Kia Sportage LX, now just $22,999.
Save nearly $4,000.
A 2019 Kia Sorento LX, priced at $23,999.
Save over $5,000.
Or lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199.82 a month for only 24 months. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Passing through KMF, lease term 24 months, 10,000 miles per year, $2,300 total due signing. Tax and tax action, offer expires 7/1/19. Warranty is limited powertrain. Warranty for details to retailer, go to Kia.com.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. One of our listeners sends us a note. Joe, right in the midfield, if you would, please.
Yeah, it says, Monday, state announced a rapid response team would be on its way to Woodmo. Tuesday, state announces rapid response team would be arrive at Woodmo next Tuesday. Huh? Is that a rapid response next week?
Yeah, we know from the email that we received from the head of the rapid response team that he was on the ground in Sealands Grove Tuesday night. That's when he sent the email saying he's in Sealands Grove, and he gave out his phone number to people that are monitoring this. So he's in town, and I imagine that meeting is being held next Tuesday because they got to get the students out of town. They move out Monday. They graduate Sunday, and they move out Monday, and they need the Weber Chapel Auditorium because of the size of the hall. The only thing bigger is the Garrett Fieldhouse there, but they're not using that. So I guess that's why it's up. Plus, they got to bring in all these companies. Companies will be will send a representative, not a full-blown job fair, but representatives of companies will be there handing out their cards and so on and making sure that these workers know that if they want to work elsewhere, they'll have an opportunity to, whether that'll be an upgrade or, you know, helpful to them, that kind of information.
It still bothers me that the state isn't looking for some way to help Woodmo.
That you know of.
That I know of, yeah. I mean, right. You would think they would be announcing something like that. Let's face it, the biggest asset Woodmo had was the people, the men and women, the craftsmen who make their product. If they're all gone, the company isn't as valuable as it once was.
Well, the company knows that.
They know that, but does the state know that? I mean, the state's trying to find them other jobs, but the state could try and help get the business back up and running.
If I could finish a sentence,
well, I was trying to do that, too.
Finish your sentence?
Yes.
All right. I think if the state wants to get involved, you know, what do you want to do with a company that has a massive debt, is months and months behind in its bills, and is its market is diminished? Do you want the state to bail them out, or do you want to do everything you can do to make sure that these people find even better jobs elsewhere, if that's possible?
Well, there was a story I saw in the paper this morning. I forget who wrote it, or I'd give them credit, but it pointed out that Woodmode specializes in handcrafted items, that they've resisted automation and, you know, cookie cutter type methods to construct their product, and they've remained a solid craftsman-driven industry or a company. And so there is a market for that. And the market generally with construction up for kitchen cabinets and bathroom cabinets has been very good. So, you know, is the market good for high-end products, you know, or do they have, would they have to cheapen what they're doing? It seems to me that the state should be looking at whether or not this is a viable company, whether or not something can be done to keep them in Pennsylvania. If, let's say they were coming in from out of the state, from Georgia or Texas or somewhere, and they were looking to relocate here in Snyder County, what would the state do to facilitate that? And why wouldn't they do the same thing to keep the company open if it, you know, can be made to be viable again?
Well, I think we'd have to ask the governor that. Is that possible? You know, the rapid response team is not dedicated to Woodmo, okay. So there are no help there. So we'll have to ask the governor if they're doing that. Do they want to? The governor's been to Woodmo. I know when we went through the Woodmo factory, we talked about what you're talking about, and that's the fact that every cabinet is custom there. You know, they don't have a cookie-cutter cabinet that they sell. Every single one is, you know, their speciality was the fact that they really didn't have an assembly line per se. They had assembly rooms where they would
put
together
beautiful products.
Right. So, right. And they're all custom made. So that's their claim to fame. So would that be viable in the future? You know, if you absorb the old debt, take care of the old debt, and get people up to date with their benefits and what they're owed, and then look to the future, what size would they be? You know, what size is their market? Maybe it's a 400-employee company or a 200-employee company.
You remember the old children's parable, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. But if they had tried to keep Humpty Dumpty on the wall, all the king's horses and all the king's men wouldn't need to try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You're missing the analogy.
Yeah,
I can tell by the blank stare
so
I'm seeing.
You mean
there.
If they had kept him from going, getting to this on the brink here?
Well, no, I'm saying that now that Humpty Dumpty has fallen off the wall, there's a lot of activity trying to put him back together again, make him whole by giving the people, finding the people other jobs. I'm just saying I think the state and Woodmote should have been focused on keeping the doors open. If Woodmote had no place to go, if they lost their primary funding, if they had no place with the state to go to say, look, can you help us? This is our temporary need. You know, it seems to me that there's a missing component in our structure in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with respect to keeping businesses. And it's not surprising when you hear something like this to read today's story from the newspapers. I don't know whether you ran it, but I've seen it in three newspapers this morning. Pennsylvania is one of the five worst states in the United States. And in the latest U.S. News and World Report ranking of the states based on economy and a lot of other factors. We can talk about that when we come back.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Joe's concerned that since it's a private company, he can't see through the walls, so he knows not of what is happening in there, and that bothers the heck out of him. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. We'll be back with more open phones. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WDKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Superlative co-host is on the other side of the table, figuratively and literally. And that's Mr. Joe McGranahan, On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wdkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. As we mentioned earlier, the Text Connect system allows you to sign up for emergency information, breaking news, dead celebrities, tornadic weather, or closed roads. That's the purpose of Text Connect. And so we would invite you to use Text Connect to stay in touch with us, and we can use it to stay in touch with you. We'll send you information, and you can send us information, and we will sing kumbaya because everybody's staying in touch with everybody. Does anybody ever actually sing kumbaya?
I was hoping you would break into song, but you didn't.
Kumbaya.
I don't even know the
Lord.
Song.
Kumbaya. Was that it? Oh, it's a religious song. Yeah, it's a hymn of sorts. So probably from Africa or something.
Good for you. I'm glad you know that. I know that.
We go back. I sung at a Camp Mount Luther as a child. 1-800. Anyway, okay, so that's on the market at KOK.com is our email, and 70236 is the text connect system. In the news, displaced Woodmote employees should have some options when they go job hunting. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Bob Garrett says it is indeed tragic when individuals are displaced against their will, but he says the hundreds of laid off employees are going into what is a strong job economy locally.
The average Woodmote worker is absolutely coveted by other employers in this valley. I know that we have employers, and they're already letting us know, hey, we're hiring. Let them know that we're here, and we want to help get that word out.
As for those displaced employees, they could even stay in the housing industry using their skills.
We have other companies. The manufactured housing is booming. The other hardwood industry is booming in the valley. We have other companies I'm sure will be happy to soak up the people who buy the nails, people who buy the glue. We're coming at this from every angle.
The Snyder County Commissioner Peggy Chamberlain-Roop also told WKOK easily 24 businesses around the valley and some from outside the valley have reached out to the Woodmote employees, telling them that they are hiring with comparable jobs and some have comparable salaries. Those laid-off workers are invited to the Rapid Response Team's meeting next Tuesday, 10 a.m. at Weber Chapel at Susquehanna University. Officials will outline all services available to the displaced workers. That includes unemployment compensation, health and pension benefits, job search activities, and more. There's also a job fair next week at the VFW from 1 to 5 p.m. Dozens of employers will be there. State lawmakers say they're gluing themselves together with the Snyder County Commissioner Joe Kantz to make sure that they're bringing all services that are available to those workers. The State House of Representatives is launching another effort to outlaw abortions because of prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome, although it faces a veto if it reaches the Democratic Governor Tom Wolf's desk. The Republican-controlled House passed the bill Tuesday, 117-76. Similar legislation died in the Republican-controlled Senate last year. Supporters say the bill protects a vulnerable population and carries exceptions for rape, incest, and the mother's life. Wolf's office says it interferes with the doctor-patient relationship, while other opponents say it's ham-handed, unenforceable, and unconstitutional. North Dakota has a similar law in effect, but courts have blocked them in three other states, and in Indiana is asking the U.S. Supreme Court for its appeal. The vote comes amid court battles over a wave of abortion restrictions advancing in conservative states. The State Attorney General's office says sales representatives for the company that makes OxyContin kept encouraging doctors to prescribe the powerful opioid painkiller, even when it realized they were serving patients who were addicted to the drug. The state makes those allegations in a lawsuit against Purdue Pharma filed earlier this month and announced Tuesday. Pennsylvania is at least the 39th state to sue the Connecticut-based company, seeking to hold it accountable for its part in the opioid addiction crisis. Attorney General Josh Shapiro says the state sued because the company isn't negotiating in good faith for a settlement, something the company disputes. The company says in a statement that the claims are part of an effort to try cases in the court of public opinion rather than in the U.S. justice system. And finally, facial recognition software is getting an official frown in San Francisco. City supervisors have voted to ban the use of such software by police and other city departments. That makes San Francisco the first U.S. city to outlaw the rapidly developing technology. The San Francisco measure only applies to police and other municipal departments, not to the use of facial recognition by the federal government at airports. Facial recognition technology has alarmed privacy and civil liberties advocates. Those who back it say it makes it easier for law enforcement to find suspects and identify missing people. All right.
Okay.
Open phones, 1-800-795-9565. Do you think we should sue the Purdue Pharma?
Well, that's a good question.
Oh, well, thank you. That's my specialty as an interviewer.
It's hard to say. I mean, were they doing it legally? Were they doing it illegally? If they were doing it illegally, think you've got a case against them. If they were doing it legally and following the existing laws, then maybe the laws need to be changed.
Okay, so you don't know. Let's see. One of our listeners sends us an anonymous note.
With respect to Woodmode, he says, years of mismanagement, lack of adjusting to production advancements, new technology led to the company's current situation. The state did look into helping the company. It is financially gutted. Good people have been leaving the last 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had heard that prior to the shutdown, that folks saw the writing on the wall that there would at least be a sale with a significant layoff as part of it and a modernization that wouldn't need as many people, that some of the best have been leaving in advance of this to go to comparable industries.
Well, I guess government really doesn't have a place sticking its nose into your business all the time, but it seems to me that, you know, you look at municipalities, there is help if you have a troubled municipality. Wasn't Shamokin in the state's plan? School districts have a bailout plan, you know, that if they fall on hard times, they can get a state-appointed assistant somehow. It seems to me there should be something like that for companies that employ large numbers of people because of the impact that can have on a community. Look at the ripple effect, the fact that a lot of these people have been, you know, huge contributors to the tax base in Snyder County, Northumberland County, Union County, probably all over central Pennsylvania, to have them suddenly not be contributing for whatever period of time. It's difficult. It creates a difficulty for government at all levels. And it, not putting aside the personal tragedy of bills that don't get paid and, you know, payments that can't be met, it's a tough thing.
They're going to get unemployment. It's not like they suddenly have no money at
all. I know,
all.
But it doesn't go kick in. It kicks in eventually from day one, but it doesn't help them over the short term until they, you know, get approved and the checks start rolling in.
Yeah,
a big help, but it doesn't start immediately. It's not like you walk in the door and they give you a check.
Right. But, well, half of them are still on salary, and Woodmode says they're going to pay them.
Well, let's hope that they are. But if our writer's right, saying the company is financially gutted, that could be an issue.
Yeah, the clock ran out. That was another analogy that one of our listeners used to say that they, you know, they hadn't been paying their bills for months and, you know, owed suppliers and health insurance people and Snyder County government and others. And
but it's not like they weren't a good corporate citizen.
But their goal was to keep payroll going. So they did what a lot of companies do that run out of money, is they slow pay their bills, and hopefully you'll catch up later, or, you know, get some financing or something. And but you keep your payroll going, because those are the workers that are cranking out your product.
But look at all the good they do. They were signed up to be a premier sponsor of the Chamber's annual banquet. Every year, this station or our sister station would go out there for the kickoff of the United Way campaign. The employees were generous and supportive, and the company was generous and supportive. So, I mean, they did a lot of positive, very positive things for the community. And if they had hard times, you know, it seemed to me there should have been some formalized mechanism for them to get some kind of help. And if they were beyond help, then I think the state should probably say, look, we don't believe you're salvageable. You know, we urge your employees to start leaving other jobs.
Well, I think they must have said
that. Well, you'd think they did?
Well, the state did look into helping the company, but it was financially gutted. I mean, how far back do you, or what do you want the state to do?
Well, all right, what should the state have done if they did look into helping them and found they were financially gutted and that they were untenable? Did the state have some obligation, having conducted that investigation, to notify the employees and others involved that this company is no longer economically viable?
Well, I'm surprised to hear you calling for so much government help. This is not like you.
Well, I'm worried about the jobs. You know, I feel for these people who've lost their jobs. That's a terrible thing to have happen to you on a Monday afternoon, to come in and find out that you no longer have a job. In a company, when I saw the stories, people, the average length of service there was something like 20 years. That's
right.
A substantial investment on the part of the workers and the
right.
success of that company. And to some extent, they were betrayed.
Whereas,
now, I want to know who betrayed them.
But there's about 2,000 comparable job openings in the middle portion of the state. Now, some of these go as far as Lycoming County or down into Dauphin County, but there's about 2,000 openings for the same salary or even a greater salary at some companies elsewhere. But, of course, That's not good. You'd have to, you know, you have do have a period where you're on unemployment and you're changing jobs and you got to commute farther, you
or
know, in
move,
many cases.
Uproot your family
right,
and move.
So I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying that jobs exist out there. If Woodmode ever had to close down, this is the time to do so when joblessness is at 3%. And again, I don't want them to. I don't want the company to be mismanaged.
Well, I do agree with you about that, that, you know, as times go, there are more jobs out there, but, you know, they have to be comparable jobs or the people lose still.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not like you in this particular case, thinking that Harrisburg has an answer to these kinds of ills. If you look at what our listeners said, this idea of mismanagement and not adjusting to production advancements, not adjusting to new technology, then do you want the state to bail out a company that's not, that is doing those things?
Right, well, let's look at that letter.
Deeds.
Lack of adjusting to production advancements. If the story that I read this morning does tie in with that, they opted to continue handcrafting the products, making them, you know, yes, more expensive, more labor intensive, but of higher quality. Is there something wrong with choosing to be on the upper end of the market?
Well, I ask you this. The guy in Mifflinburg who's still making buggies, he sells a few a week, but he ain't selling buggies like we're selling Chevys around here or Fords.
No, but he could be making a wonderful living selling those buggies, the three a week, depending the price.
As long as he keeps his expenses low and he doesn't have mismanagement, adjusts to production advancements, and has new technology. All right, we got
phones. He also has to have horses.
We asked for callers, and we got them. Cindy, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I am sympathetic to the plight of these people. As I explained yesterday, I have been down this road myself. But I think we have to think very hard about just how far this bailing out of failing companies is going to go. First of all, it comes at a price. It costs regular workers who blessedly still have jobs. It costs them money. And how far are we going to go with this? Mark, you went right to my analogy that I was going to go with. You know, they used to make buggies out in Mifflinburg.
Abundantly
there.
They
were
there.
A huge production center of buggies. They're not anymore, Joe, because the world moved on. So how then do we decide? You know, Joe's old and he's cantankerous. We're not going to bail him out. Cindy's old and, you know, she's looking over the retirement window. We're not going to bail her. We'll bail Mark out because he's the younger person. I mean, how are you going to decide who's going to get bailed out and who is not?
But it's not the buggy isn't a good analogy because the market...
technology moved on.
But the market
consumers
they're selling cabinets.
That's why you can't sell buggies.
Cindy, they're selling cabinets, and those cabinets, there is a market for those cabinets across the country today. There's construction is up. People are remodeling. It's not like they're selling a product that no longer has any use or relevance to society.
Well, Joe, if they had sales, they had income. So obviously their sales weren't there to support the company enough to keep them going. You know, people's tastes change. Like, there used to be no stainless steel refrigerators or appliances, but now all these people want to have that. I'm sure that impacted the people that made other kinds of refrigerators when the sales shifted. Food preferences change, right? So are we going to just go about willy-nilly bailing everybody out despite changes in the marketplace? Look at the old hard plastic phones that you and I grew up with, Joe, right? I'm sure there were people who made those phones here, right? And for the longest time, you could only rent them from the phone company. Then the federal government intervened. Now you could buy it, and you didn't have to pay the rent on it anymore. But they're not selling those phones like there's no tomorrow anymore, Joe. People have cell phones. People laugh at me that I still insist on having hard landlines for safety reasons. So, and that's my choice. I bear that burden. I'm not asking you to pay for it. I'm paying for it. I don't think it's reasonable for the government to pursue a who they love most bailing out thing, just like TMI. TMI is old, it's lost its production, and it should be allowed to close. We should not be bailing out TMI. You know, the whole thing that it's only going to cost people $1 a month, well, that's false, because people like me who have electric homes, it's going to cost us $12 to $15 a month based on it's based on consumption. of electricity, right? So big consumers of electricity, like school districts, like businesses, like WoodMode, you know, they're going to take a big hit if you put this tax on all electricity to bail out TMI.
Well, Joe,
it's ridiculous to do that.
Joe's heavily invested in a phone booth factory, so he is concerned.
Oh, that's another good one, Mark. Try to find a payphone on a corner somewhere,
and they
Joe.
They make wooden
they
phone
booths.
They
were ubiquitous when we were kids. Now I don't know if you could find one.
Try and find a corner mailbox, too.
And are we going to force, that's true, too, gone. And are we going to force all these things to remain, even though the marketplace has moved away from them? You know, that's ridiculous to do that.
But to say the marketplace...
People's opinions change, things that people want. You know, it used to be women could only wear dresses, and I'm sure when they finally allowed us to wear slacks, it put a hurting on the dressmaking people. But nobody said, let's bail out the dressmaking people. There just has to be... If you are in business, then it's up to you to deal with the vagaries of the marketplace. And I am sorry. It is always true that people get hurt when a business closes. Certainly the owner gets hurt. Maybe even their suppliers get hurt because they didn't see this coming. And certainly their employees get hurt. But that we can't solve everybody's problems for them. The good news is, as far as I'm concerned, Mark's right. There are a lot of open positions. And I know it's hard if you've been someplace 20, 30 years to think about taking up a new job. But that's the reality of it.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy. Appreciate the call. We got a caller waiting. Paul, you're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break.
Okay. My question is, why don't they get in touch with Iacocca and find out what he did in order to save Chrysler Corporation from going under?
He got a government bailout. That's what he did.
Well, he got a government loan, which he paid back, but right. He also modernized, so that would be one of the factors involved.
He created the K-car.
He paid it back a year ahead of time, too.
Right. And that's a classic example of bailing somebody out where you actually saved the company and actually saved the jobs. I'm not saying that we should just grab a fistful of money and throw it at failing enterprises. What I'm saying is there should be some mechanism. All these programs we have to help people, to help this, do that, mm-hmm. We should have some kind of a program that can, where a business that is having difficult times can go to them and say, can you help us? There used to be, I forget what it was called, SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives, mm-hmm. Where you could call them. I don't know whether they still have that program or
well,
not.
Yeah, and that might help with the third word in this email, mismanagement. It seems to be a through line through some of the comments you hear from informed individuals that the way that they were managing. Now, I have asked everybody for a definition of what that phrase mismanagement means, and I haven't gotten an answer yet. But in the minds of people who are in the know, who understand business, that's a phrase that applied out there. So we'll try to find out what that is. But this idea that, you know, you need big thinkers in your company. Like when you were here, the COO, one of the things that you were tasked to do and did was to stay ahead of the curve as the industry developed, as WKOK stereo came along, as you know, people were putting their signals on cable, as people were working to make sure that they were going digital and, you know, using less recording tape. You made sure that we stayed in that curve. Well, if you hadn't done any of those changes, would you be guilty of mismanagement?
Yes, you would have.
Okay,
been.
So that's that. Then in that case,
because those things were essential to the product.
Yeah,
you know,
one thing we're not looking at is that in the event that all these people that borrow the money, if the loaners call in their debts, you will have the same thing that happened in 1929.
Oh, yeah, you have venture capitalists involved. Right, that is a good point. Yeah, venture capitalists are an ornery bunch. But, you know, venture capitalists do two things. One, of course, they loan money. They give you some money that lets you advance, you know, so that you can make some changes. But they also say the company has to be more than it was when you're done. They don't just want interest. Right. They want you to be a better company when you return.
So they
the
may have imposed restrictions or may have imposed conditions on the company.
Sure.
that made it more difficult for them to succeed.
Sure.
Well, they expect more on their return than what the borrower got.
Right. They want more of a return than just a return. All right. Thank you so much, Paul.
Yep. Good points, Paul.
Good
thanks
points
for calling.
And answerable remarks right. this time.
Unusual for Paul. Right.
You hang up and put the real Paul on right now. Thank you, sir.
I can't do that. No, he's okay. Dead.
He's gone. He's gone. Okay, good. All right. We'll take a quickie break. We got a caller standing by. We will return.
Hometown. Such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9556. Oh, Cindy's standing by. Here I am lollygagging, and we got a caller waiting. Go ahead, Cindy, you're on
the
line.
Says she wants her minute.
Yeah, we all do.
I do want my minute, Joe. Solyndra. The Bush administration, first the investors examined that company and said it wasn't a good investment. Then the Bush administration examined that company and again said it wasn't a good investment. The Obama administration gave Solyndra $500 million. $500 million guarantee that we would pay their debt. They got the loan, and who's paying the debt? We are, because they pretty quickly went bankrupt. That's what happens when the government intervenes. They pick and choose based on political issues. They don't, and it's a poor choice, and we end up paying the bill. And that's wrong, Joe.
Okay.
That's wrong.
I agree with you about Solyndra. I agree with you about Solyndra, but everybody looked at it and said it was a failing business, except Barack Obama, who pumped the money into it.
It doesn't matter the party or the person. The fact is, the government isn't a good entity to be making these choices, because it's perverted by other forces, like political things, like policy agendas, and they aren't a good choice to be deciding who lives and who dies. Yes, this is a lifeboat, and it's just that simple. The economy is a lifeboat, and it behooves you to take good care of your lifeboat so it doesn't sink.
But what I'm talking about, though, isn't so much an economic dollar and cents bailout of the company as an analysis of what it would take for them to succeed. And that's why I brought up SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives. I haven't heard about that in years. I don't know whether they're still active or not. But the premise was that you took people who are now retired, who had a lifetime of success in business, and if somebody had a problem in their company, they could call and get a SCORE representative to come out and mentor them and look at their financials and have access to their business records and see if he can spot some things they could do to turn it around.
But, Joe, what happens when you can have all the advice on earth, if you don't have the, pardon my French, cojones to make those tough choices, if you don't make those tough choices in your company, all the advice on earth isn't going to change that.
Well, I agree.
And sometimes there are tough choices, that you're overstaffed, that you don't respond well to the marketplace, that maybe your compensation package is too great in place of what's going on in the world. They're just, and those things drag down a company. Health insurance has crippled companies across our region, across the country, and, I don't know the particulars there. Maybe their health insurance bill went through the roof. I wouldn't be surprised. Everyone else's is. So for you or for some leader to come in and say, well, you're going to have to cut health benefits. Now you tell that president to turn around and look at those 900 people and say, your deductible's going up to $1,000. That's the problem, Joe.
It is the challenge. It is the problem. But if you say to those people, look, here's what we have brought in an outside person who analyzed our company. This is what they told us. If we're to stay in business, this is what we have to do. Now, you can either partner with us to make this happen, or, we can just say this is the end now and we'll all go our separate ways. I mean, I think management has an obligation to bring the employees into the decision steps when it comes down to things like that, where their livelihood and their futures are involved. And I don't don't think that's, you know, that's not a radical left proposal. That's common sense. If you have a business, you depend on your people.
I agree. And especially in private businesses, you have the opportunity to be forthcoming to your employees about the ins and the outs, right? So they can see on a regular basis what are your sales, if it's this kind of a thing. What are the sales this month? What are the employee costs? But it's always been my experience, for example, when I was on the school board, that they don't want to discuss that. I propose that we give every employee the information about what their true compensation was, not just the salary that you take home at the end of the day, but the cost of your pension, the cost of your health insurance, how much we paid on your behalf in Social Security, how much we paid on your behalf in Medicare. That's the real cost of an employee. And they deserve to know that so that when we sit down to discuss it, you understand how much you cost and what when you demand more, just how much that's going to take from the company. And then let's look. Do we have sales to meet that demand? If we do, that's one story. And if we don't, that's a decider.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much. We have one call coming in, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take a quickie break in a moment. But we do have a caller coming in. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out more at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do what I do. That's go to the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Get your car checked out. They specialize in all types of service or vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for your tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. We got a caller on the line. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, buddy. You're on the air. We put you right on the radio.
All right. Well, this is Dan.
I know.
And I retired from Wood Mode in the year 2009. And we were a family. It wasn't just a corporation or a company. We were a family. And I could talk to anyone, including Robert Grunlund, right on down through. I could walk into his office at any time. And Wood Mode started out at a unique time in the cabinet industry. They started out when there wasn't many competitors in that field, and they built high-quality custom cabinetry at that time. And their finish, it was very unique. It was lacquer coated a couple times. They had the most beautiful wood finishes you ever saw. But later, you know, by the years went by, more competitors came in and took away a lot of the business. And by the year 2000, I could see a drop off in business. And it just kept dropping off is what I see. But it was a wonderful company to work for. They were one of the best companies I ever worked for. And we had great benefits. But as time went on, some of them benefits had to be taken away because of stiff competition in the other cabinet industry. So that's part of the thing. And they, by the way, they did get into semi-custom cabinetry in the 1980s, and that was pretty good for Wood Mode, but apparently that market disappeared too.
Gotcha.
As time went on. But mm-hmm. I can't say anything bad about working for Wood Mode.
Well, yeah, your information is spot on. You know, we heard that they'd made some adaptations years ago, but in the age of modernity, changes in the industry were coming fast and furious, and for those, you also had to keep up. Now, I'm telling you stuff I've heard secondhand throughout all of this conversation, but they kept themselves at the highest high end of the market for the most part through their industry, and that hurt them. But, you know, this is a family-run business, as you said. said, it was like a family. I am sure for Brooks Grunlund and Bob Grunlund, this is the absolute last thing that they would ever want to have happen. But I think one of our listeners yesterday said, you know, if you're living with debt, you're paying your bills slow, eventually the clock runs out and you can't continue.
Yes, and I wasn't, of course, I'm retired. I wasn't there when they closed the plant, but a close friend of mine I was talking with that same day, he said, Robert Grunlund was crying. That goes to show the heart of the man that I know personally. I know he loved the being in industry. He loved the cabinet industry, and he was very involved in it. You know, even though his son took over as president, whatever, he still was very involved in it.
All right, noted.
And we had, I built so many friends from Woodmode that they know me, and I forget their names when they see me out. I have so many friends from there, and it was one of the best places I ever worked. And I'm so sorry. I was in shock too. You hear rumors. I heard all the rumors that you gentlemen hear, but I didn't want to believe it. I just thought that can't be. There has to be a way out. And I agree with Joe that it's too bad the government has money to give to places, industries starting up, but one faltering. Whatever happened, I don't know for sure, but whatever they were offered or they weren't offered, it's just too bad that Woodmode couldn't be saved, because that's going to be the big blow to Snyder County Union and Juniata and Northumberland that you ever heard.
Right. Okay.
And that's a sad day for, I just still can't get over it. It's just so shocking to me. And I feel sorry for all my fella workers there, and I feel sorry for the owners. It had to be devastating to them.
All right, we got you, Dan. Thank you so much.
You guys have
take
a
care.
Great day.
You too.
Thank you for calling in. We'll take a quick break. Got a caller waiting. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565.
You've heard of bumper stickers, window stickers, even pot stickers. But none of those can save you money on your next new Kia. It's the Summer Sticker Sales Event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Look for a sticker and save. The Summer Sticker Sales Event. Get 0% APR financing for 66 months and up to $2,000 additional cash on specially marked 2019 models. Sunbury Motors Kia has a 2019 Kia Sportage LX, now just $22,999.
Save nearly $4,000.
A 2019 Kia Sorento LX, priced at $23,999.
Save over $5,000.
Or lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199.82 a month for only 24 months. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term 24 months. 10,000 miles per year. $2,300 total due signing. Tax and tax action. Offer expires 7/119. Warranty is limited powertrain. Warranty for details to retailer. Go to Kia.com.
One of our listeners says, good morning. The fact that Midwest School District can go without raising taxes because of this layoff brings up the question, why everybody else has to raise their taxes? Thanks.
Has to have their taxes raised.
Has to have their taxes raised. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm happy to help you during this difficult
time. Well, why am I reading emails? That's your job.
Well, you just started off.
Will you sit over there with your arms folded?
I'm going to reach across the desk and punch the phone lines next.
I already did. David. David's on.
Dave, you're on the mark.
Gentlemen, I've only been on for about 10, 12 minutes, but there's certainly some wisdom there from Cindy, and I like that suggestion of that retired group. To go in and give some advice, I think, you know, some skilled advice is always advantageous. Anyway, I've always been critical of that, whatever it was, $9 million or something to the Bucknell bookstore in Lewisburg up in Coles in Williamsport. I think it was $5 million. We've got to really start stopping that. You know, we bail out farmers all the time, and we've got to stop bailing out some of these businesses. But anyway, we call it development, and they don't always come through with the jobs they promise. But this would be a real opportunity, it would seem to me, for our president. Instead of going to Williamsport Monday night, he should come out to Snyder County and talk to the folks.
Yeah, you could land Air Force One at the Penn Valley Airport, no problem.
I think, you know, it would be a real chance for him to show some leadership. I'm sure he can find some excuses not to do it, but my suggestion is he step up and go out and, you know, face some of the reality that's happening that too often Washington overlooks. Anyway, gentlemen, keep up the good work.
No, that's a good idea.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, well, we just had some flashing here. Are we on the air?
Yes.
Okay.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Paul, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one question, and I had to do this, and it's a question that apparently is going to have no answer.
Oh, man. You were doing so good on your previous caller. This is the old Paul.
Yeah. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he told them to go and multiply and replenish the earth. At what number was man to stop replenishing?
Okay.
Well, if you believe Alyssa Milano, we've stopped.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that was her suggestion. Mark's still pondering. He's got a pencil and paper. He's scribbling furiously.
I'm trying to figure this out. There's a mathematical solution to this. All right. Thank you so much, Paul. As predicted, unanswerable. Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about wood mode right at the moment. And that's probably been the sum total of our main focus today. This is a... oh, did you get a text, Joe?
No, it just went ding.
Oh, okay. What does that mean?
It means that something updated.
Can you mute your phone?
Yes, I can do that.
Really?
But it's not that loud.
Well,
I notice your computer isn't here. Where's your computer that always goes bing, bing, bing and makes that sound?
I learned how to mute it.
Did you? Hey, well, good.
Unlike you. Anyway, yeah, we're talking about wood mode, so we'll take more comers. One of our listeners supposed that there was mismanagement, so I would love the definition of precisely what that means. Not keeping up with the industry is one sort of parenthetical definition that we got, but we'd like to see more about that. It's a family-run business. They tried to do superlative work. They kept everybody on the payroll. They were slow payers on their bills. We know that to be true, so we want to see why someone else would say that.
Well, Janet Pickle wrote a story this morning in Penn Live based on U.S. News and World Report's release of the 50 states and how they rank. Pennsylvania, unfortunately, has dropped to 41st out of 50 states. We are ninth from the bottom.
In terms of?
In terms of a number of factors. Health care, education, the economy, infrastructure, opportunity, money, crime, nature.
Oh, that's it. Wait. We have tons of nature.
Well, it came with a total score based on health care. Score was based on health care, education, the economy, infrastructure, opportunity, money, crime, and nature. The state didn't clear the top 20 in all but one topic. It got its worst score on the economy, followed by infrastructure. Health care, we finished 21st in the nation. Education, 32nd. The economy, 44th. Infrastructure, 43rd. Opportunity, 13th. Crime, 37th, nature, 38th, and money, 38th.
Nature? Geez, we got good state parks. And
well, here's what's interesting.
If you're not enjoying Pennsylvania nature, that's your fault.
I did a breakout on opportunity, and I wondered what that was. We scored highest on that. We finished 13th in opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on affordability. We finished number 10th in affordability.
Okay.
So Pennsylvania is an affordable place to live. Economic opportunity, 30th. All right, well, we're low middle on that one. And equality, 26th.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're not doing well except in that in opportunity. Apparently, there are opportunities here.
What are the number one states doing?
Number one state, well, I can tell you who they are. The number one state is Washington, number two, New Hampshire, three, Minnesota, four, Utah, and five, Vermont. The bottom five, and of course, we're at 41st, the bottom five are Arkansas, New Mexico, West Virginia, Mississippi, Alabama, and worst is Louisiana.
Really?
Yes, really. According to the U.S. News and World Report. Among our competitive states are surrounding us, Delaware's 23rd, Maryland 6th, New Jersey 12th, New York 13th, Ohio 35th, West Virginia 48th. So every surrounding state except West Virginia beats us.
Harry, super to hear from you. What's your view on these rankings?
Well, I find it somewhat amusing that you had one of the previous callers was talking about how the president should show leadership and come and talk about Woodmode's closing down here at Penn Valley instead of going to Williamsport. And yet these rankings are a direct reflection on the job our state legislature has been doing for us, and that would include Representative soon-to-be Congressman Keller and Linda Schlegel-Culver. You know, somebody should hold them to task, too, because they're the representatives for this area in our state government that we're watching stuff just fall apart in this entire state. This is a microcosm of what's happening from Erie to Pittsburgh and Erie to Philadelphia, you know. It's about time somebody holds their feet to the fire, too.
Well, with every major problem the state faced, there was no shortage of people willing to kick the can down the road.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, when you look at the infrastructure, you look at our removing the fuel cap tax, which was a tax increase. You can call it whatever you want, but that's what it was. And all they would say is, well, we didn't raise taxes, and this is all going to go towards bettering roads. Well, maybe it will eventually, but it's not making any improvements over the first couple of years.
What about the CSVT?
Oh, I beg to differ with you. We wouldn't have the CSVT under construction. We wouldn't have all of the Northumberland project under construction. We wouldn't have
the Northumberland project. Was that part of that?
No, that's a separate project. But we wouldn't have had money for it. I mean, PennDOT in years past was cutting a lot of grass in the summer because there was no money to do anything.
But now, I thought the CSVT was something from that. What was that? That was something that Schuster had come up with.
No, Schuster had nothing to do with it.
I thought that was that thing with the Allegheny.
Highway Development System, and that was Congressman Carney who got us on that. And he got us $180 million from that.
Wasn't from the fuel cap. Tax.
But after Senator Byrd died, that pot of money all went, the Appalachian Highway Development System funding all went into a regular pot with all the other federal transportation money. And so that was the limit of what we got. It was after the Governor Corbett and our representatives got rid of the oil franchise tax cap, and it was capped when gas was $1.25 a gallon. That's when the money became available to build the thruway and to do all these other projects that are going on.
Okay, I stand corrected on that then. But it is still a matter of fact that in the 1970s, in that list, we were in the top five. Last year, we were 38th. This year we're 41st. The only good news is there's not much more room to drop. but it is time that somebody holds these guys responsible for what is happening, that the opportunities to advance this state are not being met. And not just those two, I mean everybody.
Well, we obviously have work to do. I mean, we have the finest state legislature money can buy because they're very expensive in terms of how much they cost us. And they've resisted calls to reduce their size, make them more lean and aggressive and more competitive, I think.
Oh, it died in committee before we could act on it.
Right.
Well, and you know, this story came out in U.S. News and World Report, but it was also in Penn Live yesterday, which also last week ran an interesting story. Last year, the legislature passed a bill where they had this new hybrid pension plan. Do you know how many members of the legislature have availed themselves of that new hybrid pension plan that was going to save money?
Probably none.
The next one will be the first.
Yeah, right.
The next one will be number one.
It's not really the next one, then, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The next one will be the first one, yeah. All right.
Yes. Yes, and that's a year and a half down the road. So, I mean, you know, let's be honest here. These guys get elected. In this area in particular, you know, if you're in our particular area, if you're Republican, you're in until you don't want to be in. doesn't mean that you accomplished anything. Other areas, if you're a Democrat, you're in till you don't want to be in because you didn't accomplish anything. You'll just be elected because of the area. It's time that we the people kind of stand up and say, hey, the emperor has no clothes. Let's get him out of there.
All right. We got you, Harry. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're going to take a quickie break, and we will be right back.
And it's out of here!
Get a home run of a deal with SMC. Sudbury Motors Ford has incredible May deals that will have you cheering too. Just listen. Ford's MVP, the top-selling 2019 F-150 truck, has 0% financing for up to 72 months. Plus, save up to $13,000 off. And SMC has 65 to pick from. 2019 Ford Escape start at $17,485. And SMC has 47 to choose from. Take $7,500 off 2019 Ford Explorers, $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and EcoSports, and a whopping $8,500 off 2019 Ford Escapes. And you can hit a grand slam with up to $12,000 off Ford Expeditions. In May, SMC is better than the ballpark. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Tomorrow, more on the mark. John Shipman will be the guest co-host. Joe thinks 4 days is too little, three days is too little.
I'm going to take a fourth.
All right, so he's going to take another day
better
off.
Better than taking a fifth.
All right. I'm sure you've done that once or twice.
When you get to me.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is WDKOK, Sunbury.
There are people in this world who think...